Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. I am thrilled because on the phone, we have Dr. Rick Spacuzza. He's the superintendent of the Prescott School District. And as we all know, this is a very unique time. And so we're grateful that he took the time to chat it up with us about some of the things in particular that Prescott is going through and how they're handling it. So first of all, great to chat with you. Thank you so much.
Mo, thank you, and thank you to KDWA for reaching out and trying to make this happen in a very busy and unprecedented time that's disrupting many of our lives.
It really is, and I think it must be difficult for somebody like you because everybody is asking you questions like, how's this going to work? How much longer are we going to do this? When is this going to be over? Is my senior going to be able to go through graduation? So I won't ask you all of those questions, but it must be very stressful.
Oh, it's been 24/7, to be honest, since for Prescott in particular, we were going back. We did have a school board meeting last Wednesday, and I was recounting that our first correspondence out to our community was at the last week of February. Then we had another correspondence at the beginning of March, and then Prescott is located in Pierce County, and we did have a parent in Pierce County that was identified one of the first cases in Wisconsin and the first in Pierce County. That we were notified on March 9th
late afternoon. Wow.
And that ultimately kind of lit the fuse. And I would say from that day forward, it has been nearly 24/7 to deal with all the questions that you can imagine. And first and foremost has always been about health and wellness of kind of our staff and our students, the family and the community at large. And so we've really been engaged in a lot of communication, sharing information out among districts. There was some cross partnership or I would say cross events that happened with a Destination Imagination project that was up in Osceola. And that just 13 other districts had to kind of be communicated with regards to the possibility of the contagion. And I have to really throw a lot of thanks and gratitude to Pierce County, their health department, and A.Z. Snyder, their director. Internally, we have our registered nurse, Cassie Butler, and then obviously just following kind of the guidelines of our national, state, and local scientists and the CDC have been very helpful in allowing us to make what I think are really good decisions based on information that's available at the time. And it's always rapidly changing as everybody is observing around us. And then with Governor Evers' proclamation that titled Safer at Home that goes into effect tomorrow at 8 o'clock, there's a lot of other changes that are going to occur as well.
You know, that's something that obviously Minnesota hasn't gone to yet, but how will that really change your world? Because to me, I think we're kind of all on lockdown a little bit, aren't we?
Yes, really good question. I think for us, and part of it is always about the nuances and reading into, I think the wisest thing, obviously, is it's the governor and state health department trying to make sure that we understand that they're every country, every state has to deal with these things based on the logistics and resources they have at the time and where they are in kind of the number of identified cases. And so sometimes you see a little bit of variability or even some conversations happening about how one country is doing things and why or why not that might be something the United States or a state might want to follow. I think for the most part, based on the information we have been given as school leaders, is that it is based on the inability of being able to test any and all individuals that believe they may be ill with COVID-19. The best practice is to identify early and have a rapid response. Identify early, rapid response, and then you can kind of sequester the individuals. Because some of that isn't available, then you have to go to the next step, and that is obviously the social distancing that we've all been talking about with the 6 feet space. But it goes even further. It's really just, I think this order by our governor is to say even social gatherings, whether or not it's for things about birthdays or wedding anniversaries or, you know, kind of showers for babies, or even on the thing with regards to either older people getting sick or funerals, all of that has to be curtailed because we just don't know when an individual who may not be showing symptoms could actually pass it on to a gathering.
Right.
We've also been just practicing, and one of the things that we, it's just good hygiene, making sure that our students, staff, families were continuously updated on how important it was to wash their hands, not to touch their face, how long to wash your hands, making sure that, you know, good practice in today's world about just covering your cough, sneezing into your elbow, that continues to be something that is very important. And then obviously staying at home right now is if you are healthy and you can make sure that you are able to function from home, that gives the ability to not overwhelm our current health providers. And I think at least in our area in Wisconsin, we are just in the upward trajectory. So we haven't seen the worst yet, but I think that kind of the steps that we've taken, having been at this since the beginning of March, but also having kind of pandemic plans in place, really allowed us to kind of put those conceptual plans into action. And I'm very proud of our staff. It is currently spring break, but I can kind of share with you some of the things that we've done to date.
I would love that. But before that, I'd like to go back to the one case that was in Pierce County. Was that somebody that had traveled abroad, or do they know how they contracted the virus?
Yeah, what we were able to share was that it was an individual that at that time, it was due to work travel. The individual had traveled or to an area where there was a high already spike with COVID-19, and three colleagues had come down with being positively tested. That individual went in to be tested and then was identified. They completely participated willingly and have worked with Pierce County and their health department. It's amazing the kind of just the sociogram that they have to do immediately and interview questions about where they've been, who they've interacted with. For us, as of today, we currently still do not in Prescott have any student or teacher or staff member that's been positively identified. So as we headed into spring break, our biggest concerns were making sure that some of the guidelines that were coming in about travel, obviously, it continues to kind of become less and less of a even choice or option for families. We had to kind of communicate with our staff that travel was ill-advised at that time, and it's now almost impossible to travel today. We were asking our staff to register more so that if in case a country or a state became what they call level two, we would be able to make sure that they were in isolation for the 14 days. We are still communicating out with family with regards to, obviously, I can't dictate to them what they do, but it's more about making sure that they make informed decisions with regards to the choices they make. I think for the most part, we've had really good collaboration with our families and community, kind of the city, our first responders. So there's many different partnerships that we are all drawing upon and trying to keep everybody in the loop.
And how are you communicating with the teachers and administrators? Because I know school is set to start then again on the 30th for you, but that is not going to happen. So is it going to start in a different way, or are you working like Hastings? Hastings took a week to kind of get themselves together, and then our school will start next Monday.
So it kind of different scenarios, right? Because I think different districts in Minnesota, districts had spring break, and then it got extended by the governor. For us, our neighbor Ellsworth was in spring break, and then they just extended. For us, Prescott was still in school, but dealing with the kind of the communication, making sure people were aware to take precautions. We had increased the amount of disinfecting spaces. Our custodial staff does an outstanding job of just keeping our buildings clean and updated. In regular winter months, because of the flu, basically all we did is kind of heightened the awareness. And then Obviously, we monitored attendance through our schools anytime there was a spike in either families not coming in or coming in and claiming illness. We had to differentiate that. So if parents made the choice to kind of keep their children at home, that's obviously a parent's right, and we wanted to make sure that that was honored. But it was different information than if a student was staying home because they were ill. And so if we had a spike in a building, we moved our custodians to that building to do a deep clean. So those were some of the precautionary steps we took prior to spring break. For our licensed staff, our teachers, our special education, our counselors, school psychologists, we closed one day earlier than Governor Evers had asked all schools to close. Our students were in session on the 16th and 17th. We specifically organized all of our classes and schedules, primarily at the secondary, to walk all of our students through the different platforms that we would use to provide off-campus learning. And so off-campus learning was our way of kind of delivering and ensuring that our students and families could keep their kids engaged in the overall aspect of learning. And so we're using kind of a Google Classroom platform. We also have Infinite Campus, which is our student information, but also provides kind of a learning system. And that's where basically students can log in off a phone or computer, tablet. And so there's many different ways that they can access assignments. Our teachers are posting assignments, quizzes, reading. We also use a platform called Google Meets, which is kind of like Zoom or Skype, but allows multiple people to interact at the same time. Depending on the age of the students, we're looking at our teachers to be able to periodically think about, like our library media specialists or English teachers, they might have a reading assignment. Students would have to write and post their critique, allow other students to see it and make comments. Then they can all go on if they want at the same time and be able to even have a book talk where they can visually see each other. So although we are making sure that we follow that social distancing, we don't want to socially isolate our students either. All the way down to elementary, we do have different ways that our teachers are using kind of a program called Class Dojo. Allows us to kind of interact with videos and photos for the students, but also they had packets that they were able to access before they left. That kind of gave us a pause point on the 18th for our teachers to still stay on site, making sure that the technology that they were going to need to use at home. We started to pass out Chromebooks to all of our staff that needed it. On Monday, our tech department did an outstanding job to make sure that, you know, all the passwords and things like that were set and able to go, networks and connectivity was in place. And it gave us 3 days to kind of troubleshoot. Then on the 19th and 20th, our students technically were still in session. And so we basically reopened, but using an off-campus supported learning system, and allowed us to work out the bugs. And then spring break hit. And so we're in our spring break. The way our principals are working on this is that they have daily check-ins with all of our staff. Using some of the same technology I just mentioned allows them to pose questions, see each other from remote parts of the city, and yet still feel engaged and part of a faculty and a similar mission and vision to support the ongoing learning of our students.
Oh, wow. Sounds like you have a great plan. Thanks for sharing that with us. Tell me a little bit about how you are still getting meals to some of the kids that might need them.
Yes, very good question. So thank you for asking. And the best resource, because as I mentioned in my introduction, everything is rapidly changing. So I would always encourage any of our families or even community members. There's a lot of good information at our landing site on the prescott.k12.wi.us website. We have information about our off-campus learning by each of our levels. So from high school, middle school, our intermediate, elementary and 4K, you can get information there. We also have information about travel and recent updates with regards to the safer at home. But one of the things about food service is that we wanted to make sure that obviously we're taking care of the learning concerns, but we also know that families have or students have physical needs, such as being well fed during this time. We are currently taking orders, so there is a ability for families that are in need of nutrition to be able to order basically on Thursday, and this is mainly so that we don't over-prepare or under-prepare, and then families will be able to pick up food, and it'll be multiple days that will be provided on Tuesdays and Fridays of each week. So the first order comes in and is due on Thursday the 26th. It'll allow us to then have a pickup site at Malone Elementary in Prescott, Wisconsin, and they will be open from 11 to 1 p.m. Then if any individual has difficulty in being able to be mobile to come pick up, they just have to identify that, and we will be, we have individuals within our transportation department and our different colleagues who have volunteered that they would be driving meals out to families that indicate that they have difficulty picking it up. So we'll have kind of distributions of multiple days. They'll be on Tuesdays and Fridays of each week. Every Thursday, we'll ask people to kind of RSVP. Obviously, if somebody shows up, we'll do everything we can to be able to meet that need.
You have a very comprehensive plan. Wonderful, wonderful work. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you sheltering at home, or what are you up to?
Correct. Curious if, hopefully this is sounding okay.
But, sounds great.
I initially had intended to kind of work out of the central office, but I have found that I have stayed at home, and initially, just because it was spring break, I technically am always on, and so I was going to take a vacation day with no place to go yesterday, but we are currently on basically kind of Zoom meetings, both either with the state or CISA 11. So yesterday I was on three video teleconference meetings. Today I basically got up at 5:20 and have continued to work and check in with our district office. We have a payroll. We still need to make sure that all of our staff are paid. We have working on all the plans that we just talked about, making sure our technology is up and going, how we communicate with families, making sure that we can distribute the food. We had to shift our food to two different kitchens, primarily because we're going to have separate teams and two locations, so that if any staff member ultimately does become sick, or somebody was sick while they were at work, we can close that kitchen, close that team down, and reopen at a different location. So a lot of it is building redundancies. So I have basically commandeered my study, other than my good dog Finley, basically have worked out of the study today.
You know what?
Hoping to kind of,
Finley, I bet, is very happy that you're home.
Oh yeah, she loves to try to get me to chase the squirrels with her.
Well, take a little time to do that. We need a little physical exercise too. We want to say thank you for calling in. What a wonderful plan you have, and congratulations how you really did contain that outbreak that potentially could have really gone all the way through your school system. So thank you. Our guest today is Dr. Rick Spacuzza. He is the superintendent of the Prescott School Systems, and you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7. KDWA in Hastings.